Kenza, thank you so much for joining us on the summit today. I'm so grateful that you're here joining us.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation. Like, I'm very excited to be here and to have this conversation with you. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm pumped to have you as well. And I know that you're going to really be able to give people some really great strategies and tools they can use. So,
well, I hope so.
Yeah, of course, of course. Okay, so I want to start with what is a fun fact about you?
So a fun fact about me that some people probably know is I am a super geek. Like, I love anything in the genre of speculative fiction. So whether we're talking superheroes, fantasy, dystopian novels, you name it, I'm all in. I love that realm. And I have since I was a kid. I started with comic books, and that love has just kind of evolved over time. And so that's a fun fact about me. I love it. I'm working every day on developing my superpowers.
If you had one superpower, what would you choose?
I would choose telekinesis, actually. So the ability to move things with my mind. That's what I would do.
Perfect, given your profession. And exactly. I noticed how quickly you knew that. If you would have asked me that question, I would have been like, I don't know, travel to the future? I don't know.
Yes, I've given it a lot of thought. And you're right. Like, it, when I first came up with it, I realized how much it does connect to being in the clinical and sports psychology profession, right? Like, trying to help people master their mind. And that would be the superpower that I would have, is being able to move things around me purely with my thoughts.
Cool. Well, great fun fact. So tell us what the high performance mindset is to you.
So when I think about the high performance mindset, I think about actually four different components, right? And so the four components that I think about are the ability to prepare, to persist, to perform, and also to pause. And so when I think about that ability to prepare, right, it is having that goal, that vision of what you're trying to accomplish, and directing your energy and efforts towards that, right? It's that training, that work, the process that goes into it. I think about persist because obstacles are going to happen, right? Adversity and challenges is a part of the process. And I think having a high performance mindset allows people to be able to persist and continue when those challenges come up, right? Mm-hmm. And then perform, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. You want to be able to execute and do whatever it is you're trying to do when you need to do it most. So, you know, when the curtain rises, if you will, you want to be able to showcase what you're able to do. And I used to just stop with those three.
Okay.
But I think that pausing is really, really important, because I think that the ability to rest and the ability to take time off and stop really is an important part of the process, because rest is not something that gets in the way of your ability to be successful. It is an integral part that allows you to recharge, reset, so that you can continue to work and move towards success in whatever area you're pursuing.
Excellent. I love the four P's. Like, what a great sticky way to describe the high performance mindset. So prepare, persist, perform, pause.
Yes.
I think you're spot on all of them. And I'm just thinking about right now, there's a lot of obstacles for people, so they can relate to the persist part and how we have to perform despite all these obstacles. Mm-hmm. And care for yourself, and self-care to me is like part of that pausing part.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
And maybe I add present to it, because I feel like, that if you're not present, especially now, you can be so future-based and full of anxiety and fear.
And it's interesting. I think that present piece really ties in with the prepare, right? Because when you're preparing to do something, you have to be in the here and now and thinking about what you're doing in this moment. And so I absolutely agree. Like, all of this has to happen kind of in real time. And in that present moment is where your control really does live.
Yes. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what role do you think that mindset plays right now, just kind of dealing with change and adversity and everything we're experiencing as like in the whole world?
I think the first thing that I think is that it's really important for us to acknowledge the reality of the situation, right? Yes. And I think that's an element of a high performance mindset, is not being Pollyanna-ish, if you will, and only thinking about the positive aspects of a situation, but being able to acknowledge the reality. And the reality right now is that things are uncertain. There are many unknowns. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of anxiety, and that's real. And I think we have to be able to acknowledge that as a part of managing the uncertainty and the change that's inherent in this situation. Once you acknowledge it, though, I think that having a perspective or thinking about what kind of perspective we have becomes really important, because I think perspective not only shapes and informs how you view a situation, but then it shapes how you show up and how you respond.
Yeah.
So I think it could be really, really easy to just focus on the challenges and the difficulties of the situation. But I think that realistic perspective also would require us to look at not only the challenges and the difficulties, but also our coping strategies, our resilience, and how we can adjust, right? Because I think having that high performance mindset, having, just like you said a moment ago, that present focus, being able to have a perspective that sees the reality of the situation also allows you to see where you can make adjustments to account for the uncertainty and the change that continues to show up on a daily basis, actually.
Yeah, and if you're not acknowledging the situation, then you're also, I think, not really keeping yourself safe, because you're not doing the things that you need to, like staying home and washing your hands, and maybe you might be careless. But I appreciate what you're saying is like, okay, but then can you work to make sure your perspective is in line with what's most important to you?
Right, because the reality of the situation doesn't just include the challenges. Like, the reality also includes our ability to adapt, right? And I think we have to be sometimes reminded of that. And I think if all of us kind of take an assessment of our lives, there have been prior situations, maybe not to this magnitude, right? Because this this global situation that we're dealing with is unprecedented. But if we look at our personal lives, there are likely situations in the past where we've had to adjust to change and where we've had to navigate uncertainty. And so I think we can reach back and pull some of those skills forward to help us now in this present moment. Again, not at all diminishing the magnitude of the moment, but but wanting us to still recognize that we do have some internal skills and external supports that we can use to help us navigate this new reality.
And we've had to use those before, and so it's time to tap into them. Tell us what you mean, because I heard this really cool statement, so I want to unpack this a little bit.
Okay.
Like, your reality includes your ability to adapt, and I thought that was really powerful. Like, particularly the reality piece, right? Yeah. So give us a little insight on like what you meant by that.
So, I think, again, when we say looking at the reality of situations, I think people often look external, right? They look at what's happening around them. And sometimes that means that they are looking at the things that may be outside of their control, right? Yes. And so if I look at the reality, I can look at the world is in a global pandemic. The world is in a global shutdown, right? Like, the threat of viral infection is very real for most of the world at this point in time. And I'm not able to leave my home and go to my office, right, freely. I'm not able to move around in the ways that I'm used to being able to move around. Like, that's a part of the reality, right? But the reality also is I'm in a fortunate position where I've been able to transition my practice to an online platform, right? So that's an adjustment that I've made. There are ways that I can get resources delivered to my home that don't require me to go out, so that I can still shelter in place as we're being asked to do, while also still having access to some of the necessities, right? Now, as I say that, at the same time, I realize that there are people for whom, you know, they're experiencing financial hardship and difficulty due to some of the secondary effects of the virus in terms of people losing jobs and losing income. And so I don't want to ignore that reality as well. But again, the hope is that some of the resources that have been created, whether at the state level or the federal level, the resources that have been created to offer assistance, the hope is that some of those can offer assistance to families who are in need or businesses that are in need. And that too becomes another way of adjusting, using a resource that I may have never had to entertain before, but now I need because of my current situation. So those are some of the ways in which I mean that reality includes truly connecting to and reminding ourselves of our ability to adjust and to adapt.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. Sure. So what role do you think that good mindset habits, like, what role, why is it really important right now that we have good mindset habits? And in your opinion, what does a good mindset habit mean? Like, what does that, just that idea mean?
Yeah, so I think to kind of follow up with the response that I just provided, I think it's really easy right now to get lost in all of the challenges and difficulties that we're experiencing. I mean, I think it's, you know, if I happen to turn on the news, which I really try to limit.
Me too.
It's easy to look at the numbers and look at the increases in numbers on a daily basis and really kind of get lost in a feeling of hopelessness and just sadness about what those numbers represent, right? That's a loss of life that's happening within our country and within our world. I think, you know, as we continue to shelter in place, you know, as much as people love their families, it can be challenging to be in the same space for an extended period of time. And so trying to navigate relationships and keep them healthy in this very abnormal situation, I think that's, we can get lost in the difficulty of that. Yeah. On the other side, for those who may live alone and are feeling a bit more isolated because we are physically distancing from one another, they can get lost in that thought of being at home and not having contact with loved ones, friends, or their support system in a very direct physical way. And so I think it's important to have a good mindset now in particular, because it's so easy to get lost in the difficulties, the challenges, the unprecedented trauma of the situation that we're experiencing. And so I think what that means is, it's kind of some of what we've already said, which is really kind of thinking about a balanced perspective, right? Being able to acknowledge what's happening, but also being able to acknowledge the things that have not changed, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can't get in my car and go and see my parents, right? They happen to fall in one of the at-risk categories. And so I don't want to risk anything by going to see them. But at the same time, they are safe and healthy, right? And I have to have that perspective helps me, right? So it's not that I'm not going to see them because I don't want to. It's I'm not going to see them to try to help keep them safe, because right now they are healthy and safe and I want them to stay that way.
Yeah. Right?
I think it's shifting that perspective.
I think it's so easy right now to look at all the things that are missing instead of the things that we have. And I feel like I've been really it's not easy, but I've been working to like, what are all the things that are going well right now? And the things I can be grateful for, because you're right. It's really easy to get lost in the challenges and the numbers. If it's the numbers, I was also thinking when you said that, like the numbers in my bank account.
Right. You know, and that's black and white, right? The numbers are black and white. And so we can look at those and we can get lost in that. But I do think it's important for us to be able to, like you just said, not lose sight of what we still have. And to also not lose sight of the fact that there will be life on the other side of this curve.
Yeah. Right.
I think that's the other thing too. And I think that's really challenging because this is such an unknown situation and we don't have a timeline for when it will be over, right? Or when a new normal will resume, right? We don't know that. And so, but what we do know is that it will come, right? And so I think it's holding on to that fact that the future will bring something different than what we have right now. And this is temporary and there will be life beyond this.
I like what you just said about this is temporary. I think that also gives people hope. Like you're right. We have no idea how long this is going to last, but the great thing is everyone's in it together. And so, you know, that's one uniqueness that hasn't happened before really like worldwide like this.
Yeah.
So Kenza, what would be like a top mindset tool that you could teach us about to help us deal with uncertainty and change?
You know, you've already mentioned it. We've already talked about it. I think the top thing for me that I'm doing right now is trying to stay very present focused.
Oh, wonderful.
Very much so present focused. And so it's kind of like, okay, what do I need to do today? And then I can break that down even further. What do I need to do in this moment, right? Like trying to keep things very simple, very specific, and very present focused, because as we've already said, I feel like that's where your control lives, is in the present moment. Mm-hmm. And I also think that can keep you from having your thoughts wander to the past, right? Or to wander too far into the future. Mm-hmm. So I sometimes ask myself, okay, if I have a list of things I need to do, okay, what do I need to do right now? And once I identify what I need to do right now, okay, what's the next step that I need to take in order to address this thing that I need to do right now, right? And I try to really stay there.
Yeah. So give us a sense of like how you've been doing this, and then like the power of, and is this always kind of how you operate, or do you feel like right now this is really what you're kind of doubling down on just to cope?
Right now, this is really what I'm doubling down on. I am a person who has a tendency to think very much so in the future. And to try to plan about what's coming next and what do I need to do, not just in this moment, but like long term, right? And so right now I don't have that, right? Because it's so uncertain. And so I really am trying in this moment to focus. And so what I do, I always do this, but I have a planner. I write things down because that helps me to keep track of all of the things that I need to do from a professional standpoint. But I'm also starting to write down the things that I need to do from a self-care standpoint to make sure that they are included in my schedule. So things like working out, really important for me. Things like reading, I really love to read. And I don't always allow time for myself to do that. So I have an alert on my phone now that goes off every day at the same time that tells me it's time to read, right?
Oh, wonderful.
So I'm incorporating strategies to include all the things that are important for me right now, so that I don't have to hold it all in my head, but I can have those reminders come. The other thing that I think in terms of a specific skill is I'm really trying to practice mindfulness, which is really hard for me to do. It's really challenging. But, you know, Headspace and Calm are two really great apps that I think can help anyone to start a mindfulness practice. And I was, you know, my mind goes a mind a minute, I'm always thinking. So it's really hard for me just to sit still. It really, really is. But using the apps and having a guided approach to it, and also recognizing that I don't have to have 30 minutes to do it, but I can do it in 3 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes. And trying to, again, incorporate that daily has really been helpful with me just kind of being able to be still, to force a pause, if you will, in order to stay present focused.
Yeah. I also like, Kenza, so you said Calm and Headspace. I like the one, Stop, Breathe, Think.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some really good, like, free ones that I like to listen to. And, you know, you're right that it's just 3, 5, 10 minutes if you can.
You
can do it in the morning. You can do it throughout your day. But that is a great strategy for people just to calm their mind. And I also, what I also appreciated when you're talking about staying in the present moment, and you said, like, what can I do today, and be specific about that. Mm-hmm. And the specific part, I think, can really help people, like, okay, get clear on that so they're more in the present and it's not so vague or overwhelming.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, I speak in metaphors a lot in my work with clients. And, you know, one of the metaphors that I'll talk about is, okay, if I ask you to walk from here to my office door, right? Like walk from the couch where you're sitting to the door. How are you going to do that? Are you going to do that by just thinking about the door? No, you could think about the door all day long, and that will not help you to move from where you are to the door. You have to think about the first action that you have to take, which is stand up, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to think about the next action that you have to take, which is a step, and then another step. And so I think, to me, that what do I have to do, or what do I need to do right now, and being specific, is breaking down the process of stand up, take a step, take another step, take another step. Once I get to the door, now I can open the door and I've achieved that goal. But you can't miss the steps included in the process in order to actually achieve that goal, or you'll just sit on the couch thinking about the door all day long.
And maybe how it's like a too big of goal, or, you know, I think about some things that might even get in my way. It's like, well, that seems so impossible. Okay. Mm-hmm. Break it down. What can I do today that maybe seems a little bit more possible?
Right. So, because the other thing, just to go on that, is I'm not going to just take one step and get from the couch to the door. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we try to do that. We try to do too much in one step, and you really do have to break it down and just identify the number of steps and in the process to accomplish whatever goal you're trying to get to.
So, Kenza, what do you think gets in the way of people developing the high performance mindset? So if we go back to your 4 P's of prepare, persist, perform, and pause, and maybe you can even give some examples of, or an example of a client, obviously not tell us their name, but like when people come to you, you know, how are you seeing people get in their own way of developing just, you know, these 4 P's?
Fear is the first thing that comes to mind, right? I think people are afraid that they won't be able to do it, whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? Whatever they're trying to accomplish, I think they're afraid that they won't be able to do it, that they won't be able to meet that end goal, or that they won't be able to do the process required to get to that goal. Because I think that when people think about high performance mindset, and when they think about accomplishing really in their mind significant tasks and significant things, I think that people have this idea that that is supposed to happen in the absence of adversity, and in the absence of challenge, and even in the absence of sometimes feelings of doubt. I think they think it's supposed to be this straight line, straight up. I start here and then I get there and that's it. Mm. And that's one of the things I think that I've seen the most that gets in people's way is their efforts to avoid adversity and them thinking that that is the high performance mindset, rather than understanding that a high performance mindset and accomplishing your goals happens not because you successfully avoid challenge and adversity, but because you learn how to navigate it. And you learn how to move through it. That's how you get to that place. And I think people don't trust in their ability to navigate those challenges. And so I think a lot of times in my work, what I end up doing is trying to help people increase their belief in themselves. Yeah. About their ability to do difficult things. And so, because I think that's, you know, again, it goes back to this not just a mindset about what you can do, but a mindset about who you are.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I feel like we end up working on the most. And that's the thing that I feel like gets in the way. And there are a number of things that can create that blockage, right? To people really being able to tap into who they are, whether it's experiences from the past, noise, from other people's comments and criticisms and thoughts, and giving more weight to other people's thoughts than we give to our own belief and truth. But that's what I see, is people are just, they're afraid or they doubt that they can do it. And they think that it's supposed to happen absent of adversity.
Yeah. I thought that was an awesome point. And I think about this quote of like, courage isn't like the absence of doubt or fear. It's like feeling the fear and moving forward anyway, right? And
yep.
What you said is like, and I was thinking about a chapter in my book where I write about like thinking that it will be easy is like, you know, one of the ways you set yourself up for it not, like, or yes. failure is because,
absolutely.
So just this idea of like embracing adversity right now and not avoiding it, right? Just like, how do you think that could help us right now, given all of these changes and what we're experiencing?
Yeah, I think that keeps us focused on what we're actually able to do from a very real perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Focusing like, I don't know how many times I've said to people, like, this is something we have never, ever experienced before, right? And I think what that does actually is it allows us to be compassionate towards ourselves, which is extremely difficult for us to do. I heard it framed this way as it relates to our current situation. I was on Twitter and happened to come across a tweet, and I wish that I had the person who had written the tweet, but I don't. So I'll attribute it to someone in the Twitterverse. It was not me. But what they said was, you know, this, and they had heard it from somewhere, but the idea was, we keep saying we're working from home, or we keep saying that we're at home and we're spending time at home. And that's a very simple way to think of it. But the reality is that we're in the midst of a global pandemic. As a result of that global pandemic, being home is the safest place for us. Mm-hmm. And while we're at home trying to manage this global crisis, we're also still trying to work and be productive.
Right.
And when I thought about that, I said, you know what? That's very real. And there's a different level of compassion that I think people can have towards themselves when they're like, you're home because that's the safest place in the middle of a crisis, and you're still trying to be productive, as opposed to, I just chose to work from home today and everything else is okay.
Yeah. I like that perspective. And I also think, you know, when I think about my emotions, the last few weeks, you know, sometimes I feel really unfocused. Sometimes I feel more tired than normal. You know, sometimes I'm like doubling down on my work to cope, right? And so like, as I'm experiencing all of this, I think you're right. It's super helpful to say, take a step back and realize what's going on in the world. Show yourself some self-care and be kind to yourself. Give yourself some grace and other people around you.
Yes, some kindness, some compassion, some grace, right? And to say, well, of course I'm tired, right? Like, I'm probably working harder or more because I'm at home and we're all sitting in front of our computers. You know, those who are working in the computer, we're all sitting in front of our computers having meetings every day. Those who still have to go out to work, right, are essential workers who still are on the front lines and still out in public spaces. There's a certain level of safety risk and threat there that, of course, that's going to generate anxiety and outright fear, right? And those emotions experienced chronically can absolutely affect your energy levels, right? It can affect your mood. And so that's very real. And so I think, you know, having a bit more compassion toward ourselves and understanding that it's not business as usual, right? It is, we're trying to maintain some sense of normalcy in a very abnormal situation. And that can be more taxing on all of us.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Maintaining some normalcy in a situation that's abnormal.
That's what we're trying to do.
Great tweet right there, Kenda. Can you share with us a story of a person or a team or a business that demonstrates the power of mindset?
So this is where I know I told you at the beginning of this that I had kind of a non-traditional story that I was going to share. And this is where that fits into play. I'll tell you when I first thought about it, I was like, I don't know how that'll go over, but here we go. So the first thing that I thought of was actually the response of the NBA players in the wake of the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and the other 8 individuals that were on the helicopter back in January. Right. And I thought about how, you know, in the public sphere, there was a lot of discussion about should they play, should games be canceled, should they not? Right. And ultimately, games were played. And there were some athletes who chose not to play for their own mental health and well-being. And there were others who chose to play. And in them choosing to play, certainly they went on the courts and they did their job. Right, their job of playing basketball and being an athlete. But the reason that that situation stood out to me as an example of a group of people kind of demonstrating high performance mindset is one, because all the reactions didn't look the same. Because I don't think there is any one way to demonstrate a high performance mindset. I think the other thing is that in that situation, and I think that's one of the first times that we've seen kind of a widespread reaction amongst the athletic community where we saw their humanness in a very direct way. Mm-hmm. We saw athletes who we normally view as being invincible and as being kind of superhuman.
Right.
We saw their humanness. We saw their vulnerability. We saw their emotion. And those who chose to participate in games on that day and in the days afterwards did not do so in the absence of emotion. They didn't hide their emotion. They didn't try to deny that there was a very real loss that was affecting them, but they acknowledged that and still performed anyway.
Yeah.
For me, that was a really powerful display of, again, the high performance mindset is not always about things feeling great. It's not always about you doing what you want to do when you want to do it. Right. And sometimes it's not even about performing, because I think those who chose to not play because that's what was best for them, I think they too demonstrated a high performance mindset, because I think it is knowing what's best for you in any given moment as well. And then for those who were able to and willing to openly express their emotion, their raw emotion and perform, I think that too displayed another version of what a high performance mindset could look like. And I really just appreciated the moment, because so often we say, you know, I got to see the human side of the athlete, but in my mind, the humanness is the core. And we often see, what we always see is the performer side, right? So we got to see the core of some of these individuals in ways that we never do. And the games continued until, of course, they stopped. due to the current situation, but I think that that situation really highlighted a high performance mindset in a variety of different ways and in maybe a slightly different way than we typically think of it.
Yeah. And one thing that I caught from what how you just explained that story is like that there was no one way to respond or react, right? And I think about how that relates to what people are experiencing right now with COVID-19. And it's like, you know, there's no one way, no one right way to respond. And like everyone is responding differently from an emotional standpoint. And, you know, it can feel like some ups and downs and that's okay. You know, yes, it shows that you're human.
Yes, absolutely. And I think in addition to there being no one way to do it, the other piece that really stood out is the high performance mindset included an acknowledgement of their emotion, right? It included an acknowledgement of what they were dealing with. And they also continued to move forward.
Yeah.
Again, it wasn't absent emotion. It included emotion.
Included emotions. Yep. Mm-hmm. So what is a specific lesson that you're learning during this time period of COVID-19, Kenza?
Yep. There are two things that are standing out for me that I wanted to share. And one is I'm learning the importance of pausing. I think the world being shut down has forced all of us to pause. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mentioned that earlier when I kind of gave my description of a high performance mindset. And I think it's been really salient for me here in the last few weeks, just the importance of slowing down and sometimes just stopping and just being in the moment, not doing in the moment, but being in the moment. And I think that's really important because it allows you to reflect, right? Like it allows you to just appreciate what's around you. It allows you to be able to tap into the gratitude that you may have, because sometimes I think it's hard to be grateful for things. It's hard to clearly see things when we're constantly moving.
Yes.
And so I think the pause has been really helpful for me. It's also kind of helped me to reassess what's really essential. So pause is one piece. The other thing that I think is really has stood out for me over the last few weeks is redefining what's essential. And that word has been used a lot, right? As we talk about our society and what are essential functions, like what do we need to keep society moving and thinking about this is essential, this is not essential, and how people are defining that on a societal level. And I think on a personal level, I've asked myself that question as well. Well, what's essential, right? Yeah. Is it essential for me to run around and have my days filled to the brim with activity? Right? Or is it essential for me to connect with my loved ones and my friends and take time to have a 5-minute conversation, right, in the course of a day, as opposed to talking about how I wasn't able to have that 5-minute conversation because I'm so busy.
Right.
Like what's really essential? Like what really, and in that essential, another kind of piece of that is what feeds me, right? Like what fuels me? What helps to fill my cup of energy, what fills my passion, like what fills me as a person. And I think being able to pause and asking myself what's essential have been things that I would not have ordinarily done. Mm-hmm. But in the wake of our current situation, I have given myself permission and taken time to do. And I think those have been really helpful for me.
I think it's a great time for people to self-reflect, right? Like hopefully they have more time right now that they're not, you know, like they're not crazy, crazy busy. And, and so they're having time just to take a step back and see what's most important. I liked your questions on like what feeds me and what fuels me up. And right now, like so important to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
So, Kenza, way to bring it today.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to summarize what you talked about. And then, so people did not take notes during, this is a time to grab out your notepad and write down these things. So Kenza talked about 4 P's on what like is part of the high performance mindset: prepare, which includes being present, persisting, performing, and pausing. So making sure you take care of yourself and that you're resting. Here's a few other things I really enjoyed. Like when you talked about your reality includes your ability to adapt. Mm-hmm. That was really powerful. what you said about fear and just like not avoiding adversity, but really like accepting the adversity, and seeing that as part of your journey, but not letting it stuck there, let yourself getting stuck there. Just this idea that this is temporary so that we can keep hopeful and be hopeful about the future. When you talked about being in the present moment and you said, you know, can you be specific about what you can do today and what can you do right now as the next steps? And then finally, you know, just this idea of that we are trying to maintain normalcy in a really abnormal situation. So giving yourself some grace and some compassion. Yeah. So thank you so much, Kenza. Where can people reach out to you if they want to connect with you or follow you on social?
Thank you. And yes, so the easiest way to connect with me is on Twitter. And my handle would be at Dr. Kenza, D-R-K-E-N-S-A. And I also have a website if you'd just like to see more information about who I am, which is www.drkenza.com. And LinkedIn is the other way. If people wanted to connect professionally and you just type in my name and it pops up. And those are the primary places that people can reach me.
Awesome. Thank you, Kenza. Thanks for being a part of the summit. I'm grateful.
Thank you. Take care and stay safe.